Welcome to the weekly podcast, Stand Strong. I'm Paul White.
And I'm Noah Dieselkamp. Together, we look to God's Word to find energy and encouragement to fuel our faith.
When our trust in Jesus is firm, we'll be amazed what God can do and accomplish in our lives. So let's turn to the wisdom in God's Word, a true and trusted source that is going to help us stand strong. Let's dig in.
Well, good morning, Paul. It's good to be back, ready to look at our Bibles a little bit more today and study the words and the teaching and the life of Jesus in this new season, season five, on did Jesus really, and right now we're focusing on did Jesus really say that. Looking forward to our discussion this morning. You know, last time we looked at the idea of when Jesus said, first go, you know, leave your sacrifice, first go and reconcile with your brother. And that was a really challenging discussion for me. I was doing some reading on that text, and I read this quote from Brother Kenny Chumley. It's generally easier to go to church than to go to an estranged brother. And I thought, man, that hits the nail on the head as far as the kind of heart and attitude that Jesus was addressing in our discussion last week. And I really appreciate the time we got to spend on that.
I am too. I mean, it deals with one of the things that we're doing in this, Noah, is we're finding out, I think we're going to find out even more, Jesus challenges us with some things that he says because, again, the right thing is not always the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's after the right thing in us. That's what we want to be after too. So you're right. Yeah, it is. It's easier for me to go to church than go to an estranged brother. I can tell you that.
Yep.
For sure. So where are we today?
Well, today we are in Matthew 9. At least that's where we're going to start, is in Matthew 9, because we're asking the question today, did Jesus really say, I desire mercy and not sacrifice? And he actually says it multiple times. And he didn't just say it in his teaching here on earth, but also through inspiration many, many years earlier through the prophet Hosea. And so we'll probably cover a couple of those kinds of things today, but we want to start in Matthew 9. That's the context where we want to first look. So I would encourage, unless you are currently driving or something like that, go ahead and open your Bible and read this along with us. If you're driving, don't worry. We're not expecting you to do that.
Trust him. He's reading from the Bible, I think the English Standard Version.
That's correct. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew chapter 9. So Paul, when he says this, after hearing the Pharisees' comment to his disciples, what's the heart of what Jesus is getting at when he says this?
Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The Pharisees clearly did not know the fruit of mercy.
Mm.
In fact, Jesus starts out by saying, go and learn what this means. Can you imagine if you were a Pharisee and you're hearing Jesus say, you've got some learning to do? Go and learn what this means. I mean, look, here in Matthew 9, they're criticizing Christ. They start out by criticizing his disciples. And in essence, really what they're doing is criticizing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason that they are so critical of Christ is because they were ignorant,
yeah,
regarding compassion or mercy. And really, that connects with sometimes the issue with me or us. I've got some learning to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely convinced that the Pharisees thought, "We got you. We got you, your disciples." And because they were more interested in critical examination of what the disciples were doing and what Christ had done, i.e. eating with tax collectors and sinners,
yeah,
Jesus said, "Okay, I need to get to the root of the issue, your heart."
Right.
Your heart is the problem.
Yeah. They were learned people, But they had more to learn when it came to the posture of their heart and the fruit of their heart. And Jesus's criticism, Jesus's response to their criticism is, it's saying, you fundamentally don't understand my purpose here, right? He says, because he refers to himself as the physician here to heal the sick. He said, if you can't see, essentially, if you can't see what I'm doing, then you don't even understand the sacrifice part of this in the end. If you don't understand the mercy part and the heart that God is looking for, then you're not going to fully understand the purpose of the sacrifice, even if you're going through the motions of that sacrifice. And so he's speaking to educated people, you know, leaders in the Jewish law, you know, teachers of the Jewish law, but he's saying, yeah, you missed it. You missed the more fundamental concepts here.
Yeah. Jesus wasn't eating with these tax collectors and sinners because he couldn't find anywhere else to eat.
Right.
Anybody else to eat with. He had a good reason behind what he's doing.
Yeah.
It was mercy or compassion that fueled Jesus to eat with those who needed help.
Yeah.
I mean, you help people that need the help. And that sounds so basic and simple to us. We would read this and think, we would never do this. I mean, who would just turn and look the other way and ignore someone who is sick in sin?
Yeah.
And the reason they did it was say, well, that I can't associate with you to help you.
Right. Right. Well, so here's, and this is where I think connecting it back to Hosea, the context of Hosea can be really helpful, because God has always wanted the restoration of his people, all the way from the time of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. God has been working towards restoration. And with Israel, he was working towards restoration. And Jesus' criticism here is, when he refers to himself as the physician, he is working towards restoration between God and these people. Mm-hmm. And yet the Pharisees who criticize him, they don't seek the Lord in the way the Lord wants to be sought. Because what does the Lord want? He wants the restoration of his people. The Pharisees were not seeking to restore these tax collectors and sinners. They were content to distance themselves from them with no thought of restoring them. And when we go back to Hosea, and we don't have time to read through the entire context of Hosea, but we see how well that fits with Hosea's critique, or rather God's critique through Hosea of the Israelite people. Leading up to chapter 6 of Hosea, where this quote is from, the main comparison that God makes about the people of Israel is that they are adulterous. God is the husband, Israel is the bride, and they have been unfaithful to him. And if we look through chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, the admonition is return to the Lord, be restored to the Lord, and leave behind your wicked ways. God wants restoration. And yet Jesus' criticism in Matthew 9 is, I'm seeking to restore these people. You have forgotten what it means to that God desires mercy and not sacrifice.
You know, he says something, in my estimation, that stings a bit. He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mm-hmm. He was looking at the Pharisees. How did the Pharisees see themselves?
Right.
Which was not accurate. So how they viewed themselves was not accurate.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, affected how they saw others.
Yeah.
Compassion and mercy is one of those weightier things, those more important things. I mean, Jesus clearly addresses that again to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, mm-hmm. and in verse 23, the more important matters of the law, and one of the threes in there is mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Pharisees, I mean, I can convince myself that I am possessing the kind of heart that says I am focusing on what are the more important things. And it's not an either or.
Right.
These ought you have done and not leave the other things undone, Matthew 23. So I don't want to be misunderstood there, but what is the weightier thing? What kind of heart is the Lord looking for?
Right.
For in us? And it's a heart of mercy and compassion that fuels us and motivates us to be concerned with those who need help, especially in the context of Matthew 9. It's those who are sick in sin.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Matthew 23 tie-in is very helpful, because What the comparison that Jesus draws there is one that shows there's a cause and effect that's being indicated here. No amount of tithing your dill and cumin and mint will make you just or merciful or faithful. But if you are convicted in the heart to pursue justice and mercy and faithfulness, the tithing will happen, right? Mm-hmm. When you address the weightier matters of what God desires from our heart, then there will be an obedience, a faithfulness, an obedience of faith, as I've heard you call it, that comes from that, that can't be reversed. You can't manufacture that. You can't reverse engineer that from, in the case of Matthew 23, the tithing, right? The heart, if we want to get into more controversial illustration perhaps, but there's a trickle-down effect, right? So if back in, when was it? Back in the Reagan era with the trickle-down economic discussion, that was before my time, but there's a trickle-down effect. We address the heart, and that trickles down to our actions in other areas.
What must have been going through the minds of not only the Pharisees, but also Jesus' disciples when he says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice? Because the Lord was pretty clear, and especially as a Jew, you went back to Hosea 6, as a good Jew, not being ignorant of what the will of God was pretty clear in regards to sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jesus is not saying, hey, let's toss sacrifice out the window here.
Right.
Here's what I want over this. There's a context there.
Yeah.
So, again, what was the problem with the Pharisees? They had so stressed outward observance, or here are my words, sacred regulations. And again, how does that mirror Matthew 23? You know, I can boast, well, I'm fasting, Lord.
Right.
Twice a week. Like the Pharisees were saying, I'm tithing on this level. I'm a generous giver like this. For us today, it might be language. I attend all the services. I'm here every time the doors are open.
Right.
I'm always studying my Bible. All of these things that we can stack up in the box of sacrifices or outward observance of sacred regulations. And are those important? Sure they are. If it's inside the will of God, it's important. But Jesus is saying you're missing the more important things. You're missing the heart that I'm looking for in my people. And when the heart is right, when you are a compassionate, merciful person who is concerned about the needs of other people, then the rest is going to take care of itself.
Yes. And that compassion comes from a knowledge of God and a true desire to serve him and emulate him. And again, that goes back to Hosea as well. Hosea chapter 6 and chapter 7, God says how much he wants to restore his people. He wants to be with his people. He wants his people to be with him. And yet he says, when you do love me, when you do turn back to me, it's like the morning dew. It's here and then it's gone again. And so as much as he wants to restore his people refuse to actually genuinely seek him. They have this kind of on-again, off-again love. And when they do, in chapter 7 even describes it as, when you seek me, it's because you need something, almost, is kind of the image that's there. You're not truly seeking to know me or have a relationship with me. You only seek me superficially because you need your wine and your grain. And that type of superficial knowledge of God will never transform the heart. That type of seeking of God is never going to lead to the compassion that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 9.
Yeah, there's another point, Noah, or another occasion. It's in Matthew 12 where Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, there's a context there. So to those that are listening, read the first 7 verses in Matthew 12. The Pharisees, they're very critical of Jesus. They're criticizing Jesus in Matthew 9 because he eats with tax collectors and sinners. And now they're going after Jesus' disciples for plucking the grain on the Sabbath, criticizing Jesus' disciples for doing what was not lawful on the Sabbath. It's interesting when you connect the Matthew 9 context that we read with the Matthew 12 context. On one occasion, they're criticizing Jesus. On another occasion, in Matthew 12, they're condemning the innocent.
Yeah.
But in both cases, what Jesus says is in Matthew 9, he says, go and learn. Pharisees, you need to go learn. And then in Matthew 12, he says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire. So clearly, like you were saying, they did not have a knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And because they did not have a knowledge of God, because they had some learning to do, they did not know what clearly the law was teaching, what the heart of God was all about in Hosea 6. They were criticizing Christ, and then in Matthew 12, they're condemning the innocent. That's, I think, why we wanted to talk about this, because we can be guilty of the same thing in principle, unfairly criticizing someone and unjustly condemning someone, because we've got some learning to do in the area of what does it mean to desire compassion and mercy rather than sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And another part of that in Matthew chapter 12 that connects with that is the understanding of the heart of God is what gives us understanding of his law and his will. His law and his will cannot be understood apart from his heart and his character.
Yes.
And what Jesus points out here is you have become so disconnected from the heart of God that you don't even understand his law anymore. You don't understand the purpose of the Sabbath, nor the laws regarding the Sabbath, because you don't understand the heart of God that put those laws into place. I think sometimes Matthew 12 is seen as Jesus saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath and I can do whatever I want, and so it's okay, which is not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I know the Sabbath, I instituted the Sabbath, and you have failed to understand it because you fail to understand the heart of God. So service to God, regardless of how holy it appears, if it's disconnected from sincere motives and a true knowledge and a heart for God, then it will lead to fundamental misunderstandings of what God wants from us. That's clear in Jesus's criticism of the Pharisees here in response to the Pharisees.
Yeah. What Jesus' disciples were doing in Matthew 12 was not a violation of God's law. I want to be clear about that.
Yeah.
They were not violating God's law, but the Pharisees were so interested in a gotcha moment, had become so self-absorbed in their interpretation of law and ability at times to make law. They had become so condemning of other people. And Jesus went to the heart of the matter to try to help them to understand that the reason they were rushing to condemn people is because they did not desire compassion.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the reason the same thing still happens today. No, let me back up. No, take the maybe out.
Yeah.
When we rush to condemn people, rather than seek opportunities to help people. And the helping people is trying to get people connected to the only one that can save them, the only one that can give them abundant life. And we can be guilty of doing that and then justifying ourselves all the time that, well, we're trying to uphold a morally pure standard, and we're doing the next right thing by making sure that these dirty, messy, sinful people don't come in here and don't contaminate others.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus says, maybe we got some learning to do.
Yeah. We need to learn what it means to desire the steadfast love of God, as it's put in Hosea, the steadfast love of God and not just the sacrifice. We need to seek a true understanding of the heart of God. We need to seek him with sincerity. And when we do that, we can bear the love and the mercy and the compassion that he has shown us. We can bear that out in our lives. We can be representatives of the great physician. And if we fail to understand the heart of God, we will fail to represent him accurately in the area of compassion and mercy.
Yeah, I love it. I want to share towards the end of this. You know, it's one of those things that you put in the margin of some of your Bibles, and you put them in quotes, and then you forget where you stole it from, what book you got it from, or who said it in a sermon or something. But I had this down in the margin of my Bible, especially in the Matthew 9 context that we read, where the Pharisees were very critical because he's eating with tax collectors and sinners, and we got to put a stop to this. This author said this: Jesus met people where they were in order to lead them to where they needed to be. He met people where they were
yeah.
in order to lead them to where they needed to be. What kind of person does that? The kind of person that desires mercy, the kind of person that is seeking to be compassionate
mm-hmm.
in everything that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that is a great point to wrap this up on. I really appreciate getting to discuss this with you and hear your thoughts on this. But Paul, where are we going to go next week?
Another one of those, did Jesus really say that? We're going to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus tells a very, very young, rich man to go sell everything that you have. Go sell whatever, all that you have, and mm-hmm. give it to the poor. And that set in the context of Mark 10, where Jesus says some other things about riches or rich people or wealth. So there are some things in that context that sometimes is misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
But what was Jesus really saying? I mean, he really said that.
Right.
Mark 10, so spoiler alert, he really did tell somebody to go sell everything that you have. What's Jesus getting at? What's the heart of his teaching? Did Jesus really say this? What does Jesus really want from yeah. us?
Well, I'm looking forward to that discussion. I think that will be very applicable for us who live in prosperous areas of a prosperous nation. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be helpful. And I pray that, like all of these discussions, it will help us to continue to stand strong in Jesus. Thanks for joining us in God's Word today. We hope you'll continue to join us each week as we consider how to deepen our faith in God.
Here's some good news today and even this week. With God as our foundation, we know that we can stand strong.